Welcome to the deep dive. So you've handed us this stack of critical reports and industry news from November 2025, and our mission today is to really cut through the noise.
Yeah, and it's a noisy month.
It is. This whole period feels like it's defined by massive anticipation, just colliding with some harsh technical realities.
That's absolutely right. I mean, our sources capture a moment of really high pressure across the industry, whether it's these massive open world titles, established live services, or, you know, classic RPGs getting a facelift.
Everyone's making big moves.
Exactly. The biggest players are all making these pivotal moves. So we need to focus on what those shifts mean for you, the player, both, you know, financially and just in terms of your experience.
Okay, let's scrutinize that claim and jump straight into the biggest shockwave of the month, the confirmation of yet another major delay for Grand Theft Auto VI.
This was the dominant headline, yeah. It was confirmed during Take-Two's second quarter financial results call.
And the timeline has just ballooned.
Oh, it's extended significantly. It moved from the initial fall 2025 to May 2026. And now, the new official date is November 19th, 2026.
Wow. That is nearly a full year later than what we were last told. And let's not forget, Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick had been publicly confident, I think was the word?
Yes, very confident about a 2025 release until very recently.
So what's the official line from Rockstar?
It's the typical PR line, you know, about needing time to ensure the level of quality and polish that players expect and deserve.
But is the market buying that anymore? Or is this really about something deeper, maybe like internal pressure after those huge leaks?
Well, it's likely a combination of things, but what's fascinating here is the financial calculus. This isn't just about polish. It completely resets their fiscal clock.
How so?
Pushing it into late 2026 positions the game directly against the potential holiday blockbusters of that year. It creates immense pressure, not just for them, but for everyone else.
Right. The entire competitive landscape has to adjust.
Completely. They need this launch to be perfect, because that November 2026 date guarantees every single competitor will try to move out of their way.
So the extended wait is frustrating, sure, but we have to accept that perfection, especially in a game this size, it comes at an extremely high cost.
Precisely. Delays are standard, but for GTA, the stakes are just astronomical. The only acceptable outcome is an exceptional high-quality experience. If that means pushing it to the end of next year, I think the market will begrudgingly accept it.
Okay, so if GTA's ace is demonstrating the high cost of perfection, Treyarch seems to be showing the high cost of speed. They're completely tearing up the rulebook.
They really are.
Let's switch from the longest wait to the biggest immediate live service shakeup, Call of Duty. Black Ops 7, which launched November 14th, is changing multiplayer matchmaking entirely.
This is a monumental shift. I mean, it's a direct response to years and years of community debate over strict skill-based matchmaking, or SBMM.
Which had become, let's be honest, almost synonymous with player frustration.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's quickly define the pain point for anyone who hasn't been tracking the SBMM debate closely. What exactly was the problem that Treyarch is now trying to solve?
The problem was consistency and stress. SBMM basically guarantees that after you have a good game, the system puts you into a lobby of equally skilled or often better players.
Right. So every single match is a high-stress engagement.
Every single match, the frustrating result for the average player was what the community called a mirror match lobby. Every game felt the same, super competitive, and it just lacked that variety or, you know, that casual fun that drew people to Call of Duty in the first place. It created high churn.
Okay, so now the solution is this new, primarily open matchmaking model. Walk us through what this means for me if I just want to jump in after work.
It means the system's main priority has shifted to low latency and fast games, so speed and connection quality.
And how do they do that?
They achieve this by widening the acceptable skill ranges when ping targets are met. So skill is still a factor, but network quality is now weighted above it. The goal is flow, getting you into a stable match quickly and just diversifying the experience.
But what about the competitive players? The ones who want those consistent high-stress matches, where do they go?
And that's the brilliant split. They're introducing an additional optional queue specifically for those players. If you opt into this dedicated competitive environment, you get the consistency you want.
But there's a trade-off.
There's a clear trade-off. Potential region constraints, and yeah, probably longer queue times.
That split system is fascinating, but doesn't this shift Treyarch's liability? I mean, if competitive players now have their own queue, doesn't that raise the stakes and the scrutiny on that smaller, dedicated segment?
It absolutely does. They are basically creating two distinct products within one game. It requires near-perfect execution on both network stability and cheating detection in that competitive queue. There's nowhere left for them to hide if that dedicated segment fails.
And what about the whole keyboard versus controller thing?
Well, what caught my eye is that crossplay remains on, but they're using input-based filters to manage the mouse and keyboard versus controller aim assist debates. So they're at least trying to enforce a level playing field.
That level of filtering is incredibly difficult to get right. Okay, switching gears now. New content from the RPG Titans. Let's head to From Software, where the Tarnished are preparing for a massive new challenge in Elden Ring.
Indeed. The new major DLC, Nightreign, The Forsaken Hollows, is slated for early December 2025.
And the title itself seems like a big clue.
It's key, yeah. Forsaken Hollows signals a fresh descent into some kind of subterranean or sunless frontier-think layered caverns, forsaken settlements, something that expands the map vertically.
So we're anticipating major new legacy dungeons, not just a small field update.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, From Software's DLC tradition ensures it. We're expecting extensive new legacy dungeons, new weapon arts, spells, Ashes of War. It's going to cause a massive meta shakeup for both PvE builds and PvP duels.
They're reteaching you the game.
Exactly. And the simultaneous rollout across PlayStation, Xbox, and PC is great for aligning community discovery.
And while the Tarnished are descending, the World of Warcraft players are heading back to the drawing board. The Midnight Beta is officially live.
Yes, and access is pretty broad. Opted-in players and Epic Edition pre-purchasers are guaranteed to get in. What's crucial here is Blizzard's intense focus on iterating on endgame elements.
Like what?
Things like encounter pacing, class throughput, crafting loops, and specifically, dungeon affix cadence.
Okay, define affix cadence for us. Why is testing that timing so important right now?
So affixes are those rotating environmental modifiers in Mythic Plus dungeons that change every week. Cadence is the timing of when you encounter those modifiers in a run.
Ah, I see.
Blizzard needs that early data to make sure the affixes don't make dungeons feel overtuned or, conversely, too easy. It's necessary calibration that prevents systemic issues later on, like loot droughts, which can just sink an entire season if the tuning is off.
Okay, we've covered the future. Now let's talk about the technical friction happening right now. Two major titles have run into some turbulence this month. Fallout 4, Anniversary Edition, and Borderlands 4.
Right, the launch of the Fallout 4 AE on November 10th was, well, it was kind of a tale of two launches.
How so?
Console players and people with clean PC installs reported good things, like faster load times. But a massive subset of core PC players reported critical launch issues. Looping splash screens, instant crashes, the works.
What were the main threads causing all this chaos for PC players, especially with the modding community?
The sources point to three common culprits. First, legacy mod conflicts. The core PC audience for Fallout 4 has relied on a community tool called F4SE, the script extender, for years to run complex mods.
And that's broken now.
It's clashing directly with Bethesda's updated game executable. So that creates an immediate fracture point for anyone with a heavily modified save file.
Which is a lot of people. That basically paralyzes the mod community. What about the other two culprits?
Second, driver and overlay conflicts.
Hmm.
Basic things like GPU overlays, Discord, capture software, all causing fatal errors with the new code. And third, corrupted upgrade paths.
Meaning?
Players migrating from older installs or moving the game between an HDD and an SSD are seeing mismatched files that trigger integrity failures.
So what's Bethesda's advice?
The initial guidance is practical. Verify your files, temporarily disable all your overlays, and run the game once in a clean state. Mod veterans are basically just being told to wait for F4SE updates.
Meanwhile, Borderlands 4, a game that relies on momentum, seems to be bleeding players.
Yeah, the data suggests the momentum is slipping pretty significantly. On November 10th, the 24-hour peak on Steam was just under 20,000 concurrent players.
That's not great for a two-month-old game.
No, it's trailing the staying power of the previous entries by a large margin.
So beyond competition and a thin content cadence, what's the technical issue that's specifically driving players away from a co-op game?
It's the co-op friction. Specifically, the instability. Sources point to server migration issues under high packet loss, which suggests some fundamental netcode problems.
Which casual players just experience as fatal desyncs.
Exactly. And if you can't play reliably with your friends, the core value of a looter shooter just collapses. That, combined with a thin content cadence, means players are rotating out fast for all the other big games that drop this fall.
So the recovery plan has to be technical and content focused at the same time.
Absolutely. They need a high signal patch that focuses on build diversity, visible crossplay fixes for those desync issues, and a big seasonal event with strong chase loot. Getting back over 40 to 50K weekend peaks will be the first real sign of stabilization.
Before we wrap, let's take a brief, respectful pause. We need to acknowledge a significant loss in the world of anime and gaming culture. Tatsuya Nagamin, a director and animator who shaped countless worlds, passed away at age 53 earlier this summer.
He was a genuine titan. He was celebrated for elevating the animation and direction of One Piece to a new aesthetic peak, particularly during the Wano arc and landmark episodes like, well, like the debut of Gear 5.
I remember that episode. The energy was just off the charts.
The sheer kinetic energy he brought to that moment of, you know, pure joyful chaos was unique. He didn't just direct action. He brought this incredible visionary flair to character-first storytelling, both in One Piece and Dragon Ball. He leaves behind a portfolio that fundamentally changed how we look at shonen animation.
Truly a director who turned fan expectations into high art. Okay, let's move to our final takeaways and some quick hits for you, the curious learner. We've covered monumental delays, technical launch chaos, and innovative matchmaking. What else should you keep an eye on?
Three short hits for your radar. Right. First, the company Funko, you know, the brand behind the Pop figures.
They're everywhere.
Right. Well, they're reportedly in serious financial trouble, with analysis suggesting it may not survive the next calendar year. Second, Sony is preparing a new state of play, and the word is it's coming very soon. So major console news is likely imminent.
And finally, a big one on the issue of safety accountability.
Yes. Content creator Schlepp claims that Roblox invited him back months after his account was banned for exposing predators on the platform.
Which is a strange look.
It is. This late and somewhat clumsy invitation raises fresh concerns about safety, enforcement, and platform responsibility. Definitely one to follow.
Absolutely.
But circling back to our discussion on Black Ops 7, I want to leave you with one final thought. Given the industry's pivot toward these highly customized player experiences, what does the official introduction of a split matchmaking queue in a major AAA title like Call of Duty really signal? By formally separating the casual low-latency player from the dedicated competitive player, is the search for a single, unified, default multiplayer experience? Is it finally over?
That is the essential question, isn't it? Are we entering an era where AAA developers have to officially acknowledge that there are two separate types of fun they must cater to? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the industry's high friction reality.
My pleasure.
Go forth and apply this knowledge and maybe, maybe double check your GPU drivers before you launch any new patches. We'll be here next time to help you process your next stack of sources.